first wanted to thank the Kohler here for the opportunity for being able to speak here. I also wanted to express on a personal level for me and my family the Hakaras HaTayv from the time that we lived here, and we benefited tremendously from the Kohler that we see. The Kohler has grown tremendously over the years. It's very gratifying to see. We were here in the beginning when it was getting started, but many people didn't know who was going to go, but obviously it's a tremendous success even right now, and obviously in the future. We can't even imagine how successful it can be to mamish change a community. And on a personal level, for me and my mishpacha, we'd like to recognize with hakaras hatov to the kollel for the gain that we had, the tremendous gain that we had while we lived here. So Beryl, pretty mediocre guy. He lives his life, learns an hour to a day, gives tzedakah, had a job, not too bad at all. Life goes, he has kids, chasanas, the works. After 120, finally, he passes away, lived a great life, he's happy, satisfied, nothing special, average guy, you know, try not to speak Lashon Hara, try to give tzedakah, he's kaveh itim, very nice. Goes to Olam Haba, they give him his place, not bad. He sees though tremendous what he could have got, all the tzaddikim are there, and everything that all the Gemaras talk about in Olam Haba. Finally, one day, or whatever they have in Olam Haba, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes, I'm giving you a one-time opportunity. One-time opportunity. We're going to give you 1 hour to go back to Olam Hazeh. You were a pretty good guy. You see what you could have got. You see what you missed. There's tremendous, the tzaddikim, the mamish, they have whatever the schar is, whatever, we can't even imagine it in this world. We're going to give you 1 hour. You have a very clear idea of what you could get, what you have. We're going to let you see what you can get on Olam Hazeh. 1 hour back there, starting 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, you're done. You have 1 hour exactly to the T. You can go do some more mitzvahs. We're giving you a chance to upgrade your spot. Unbelievable. I don't know if this is even possible, but it's a mashal. So they send him down. He comes down, Olam Hazeh. He can't even figure out what he's going to go learn first. What masechta should he learn? Should he get 2 chavrusas, 1 chavrusa? Should he get the Rosh Kollel to learn with him? Should he get the best? Which chabur should he join? I don't have time for a chavrusa tumult. That takes 2 days. Imamish is like, doesn't know what to do. This mitzvah, that mitzvah, stuck. Imamish be beside himself. But on the side of the street, there's that pizza shop. The pizza shop, it smells tremendous. They have a new falafel pizza. And in Borough Park, there's a new thing. Falafel, unbelievable. It smells tremendous. You can't. So what does the guy do? He frees right here. What does the guy do? I might have an hour. I have exactly 1 hour. I know exactly what I'm going to get. But the pizza, it smells amazing. I'm going to go spend 30 minutes in a pizza shop online behind 3 ladies who are fighting over a bill? Or am I going to go to the base medrash and I'm going to get it? I have 1 hour. He doesn't even smell the pizza. He flies right by it. He doesn't even realize that they invented falafel pizza since he passed away. He learns shtark for an hour, and he goes back to Olam Haba, and that's the end of the story. Lamaisa, what happened to us? How come we don't have this clarity? We don't have this vigor. We lose some of this focus, this clarity. We have an economy, so we're here more than an hour, hopefully, for 120 years. So we have a whole life ahead of us. It's hard sometimes for us to focus. We go, we set out, the average guy, and he has a certain goal in mind, whatever it is. He's going to go to the Beis Medrash, he's going to go to his job, he's going to go in certain things set out for his life. He's going to end up, he's 20 years old, he knows when he's 80 years old, he's going to end up over here. What happens? One day he passes the same pizza shop, he smells it, unbelievable. What's so bad if I eat a slice of pizza? Is it going to kill anybody? A slice of pizza goes out of the pizza, it's kishmak. He eats there, schmooze a little bit. Next day he goes again. Oh, it's 2 slices with a new topping. Next thing you know, he's buying recipe books, cookbooks. He has pictures in his house of pizza. He traveled every single country in the world and he tasted 17 different pizzas from 17 different famous bakers. And he can tell you with his eyes closed which baker baked it and which day it was baked. Mamish an expert. Until the point when someone walks into his house when he's 50, 60 years old and he has this picture in Italy with this pizza and the couch is a pizza, the pizza shape, and he has this recipe book and he has a whole bookshelf, a shrunk of books, all kinds of stuff with pizza. What happened? This is what you had in mind when you were 20 years old. It all started because of one thing. We lose focus. That's the problem. We lose focus. Says Mesiel Sasharim. Yisoyda chasidus v'sherish ha'voida ha'tmima. You want to have a voida ha'tmima? You know what it is? The key is to avoid that. The key is to have clarity. That's what it is. She's barer v'is amit. You have to know this guy who was here for 1 hour didn't have anything in his head. He didn't have any other ideas what he was going to do. Klar, he's going to go best measures for 1 hour and he's going to learn shtark. Nothing's going to deter him, no matter what they say. But for us, it's much more difficult. We don't have this 1 hour. We don't see it like that. Even though Chazal say, Yashuv ayoyim shem yom muslimachar, but lemais, it's hard. But if someone can do this, if someone can perfect this clarity, it could add a tremendous level of urgency, tremendous level of significance, of focus, of clarity to his life. And says Messias Hashem, you know what that leads to? That leads to avoid the hatmima, which is a tremendously high level. The Megillah, the Gemara says, I actually learned this, one of the first Gemaras I learned with Rabbi Feigenbaum. So why are Nashim Chayavis B'Mikra Megillah? We know there's many mitzvahs that Nashim are not Chayavin. Sha'af Hein Hoyu Ba'isa Hanes. Zog Rashi, because even they were involved in the Nes, Rashi says. Normally there's a lot of battles, different wars happening in history, and most of the time, or a lot of times, they go after the men, they're men. But in these specific miracles, especially the Mikra Megillah, Afilu the Nashim, even the Nashim are under tremendous danger, and therefore they celebrate. Afhein, that even they have a Chiv in the Nes. Fine, Pashup Shat. Tosfos says, he brings down the Rashbam with a different shot. The Rashbam says she'ikar ha'nez hoya yodan. It's not the pshat that even the ladies. It's not even the ladies. It's the ikar nez of Purim happened because ayidei the ladies through Esther, ayidei Esther, and b'chanak ayidei Yehudis, the Pesach shebeschus noshin sukaniyos shebayis hador nigalu. Says the Rashbam a different vart. It's not that even the ladies had danger. It wasn't only the men. Even the ladies. It's because of the men. I yaday the ladies. It wasn't even the ladies. I yaday the ladies. The miracles happened. The nisim happened. So avada they have to celebrate. And they have to celebrate the nes. Because of them, they're celebrating that they were the cause for a tremendous Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. Tosfos has a kasha though. The lashon of the Gemara doesn't fit so well with this. Rashi fits kishmak. Rashi says that the ikar was the men. But even the ladies were under a certain level of danger, so they should celebrate. Afhein hoyu, even the ladies should celebrate because even they were under danger. But according to the Rashbam, this is not even. They were the ikur. The ladies, who should celebrate more, the ladies or the men? The ladies. Ayaday the ladies. The Yeshua happened. So if that's how we're judging if we should celebrate or not, then for sure the ladies are the ikur, the ikur ones who should celebrate the nisim, and for sure they should be chayv and mikra megillah. It should. The Gemara's lashon doesn't fit af hein hoyu ba'isa hanes. Tosfos kasha. Chassam Sofer brings down a medrash pliya in Parshas Beshalach. Right after the Yidden crossed the Yamsuf, one of the tremendous miracles that we've had in our history, we have a Chiyuv, you see the Schiras, you see our Tzitzrayim every day. We remember this since that time. So Klal Yisrael got together and they sang Oz Yashir. Right after they finished singing Oz Yashir, the men sing Oz Yashir. Says the Pasuk, Vatan Lohem Miriam, and Miriam answered, Shir Lashem Ki Goya Ga Sus Vareich Vayram Vayam. Says the Medrash, is this a soap opera? Who is Miriam answering to? The men sang, and Miriam sang. What's Vatan Lahem Miriam? Says the Medrash, the Malachi Hashareis came to Miriam and said, why are you singing? The men are singing, why are you singing? And answered Miriam, now we understand. Miriam answered the Malachi Hashareis, Vatan Lahem Miriam, Shir Lashem Ki Goya Ga Sus, Baruch Vayram Vayam. As the Chassam Sofer, it's a Medrash Pliya. So now we understand who Miriam was answering to, the Malachi Hashareis. But what was the Malachi Hashareis' kasha? One of the biggest nisim that we've had, probably the biggest nes that we've had in our history to this point, was Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the men, they sang Oz Yashir. Avad, you sing Oz Yashir. Shira to Hashem. Would anyone have a kasha at the ladies? Why are you singing? If I cared, if they didn't sing, would say, why are you not singing? Why are you singing? That's a kasha. What's the Malachi Hashareis kasha? But Tamla and Miriam, and Miriam answers, she doesn't really answer the question. She says, Shiru Hashem ki goya go, we praise Hashem ki sus v'roich v'roim the mitrim drowned. What's the kasha and what's the teretz? Says the Chassam Sofer. Answer the Chassam Sofer was a tremendous yisoid, which I think we're talking about clarity and trying to get us the same sense, to feel like we're here for a short time. I think that this medrash, the way the Chacham Sofer explains it, is extremely powerful. He brings a Gemara from the Sechta Shabbos, a well-known Gemara. The Rebbeinu Shlom created the world, but he told the world that it's not done yet. I'm creating the world al Tanai, that the Yidden are going to accept the Torah and going to learn Torah. It's Tanai that the Yidden are going to accept the Torah. What happens if the Yidden don't accept the Torah? At the time the world was created, they didn't accept the Torah yet. What happens if the Yidden are not going to accept the Torah whenever it's time? So says the Rebbeinu Shlom, then the world goes back to Toyu V'Vayu, to Gemara and Shabbos. Says the Chacham Sofer, tremendous insight from this Gemara. From this Gemara, the Chacham Sofer wants to say, it wasn't a one-time thing that the world had a Tanai. You're created, and in about 2,000 years, whatever the 2,448 years, you're going to have the ultimate test of the world. The world is going to have a test. What's going to be? If they didn't accept the Torah, you're in. If they don't accept the Torah, you're out. Says the Chacham Sofer wasn't a one-time thing. The entire world is completely dependent on the Yidden accepting the Torah, not just that one time. Forever. The more the Yidden accept the Torah, the more the world exists. The less the Yidden are learning Torah, the less they're accepting Torah, the less the world has a chance of existing. It wasn't a one-time thing. Therefore, says the Chacham Sofer, we understand something called Mother Nature. The grass grows, the trees grow, all kinds of stuff. The farmers, I'm not an expert, but there's all kinds of things that are the rains, this, Mother Nature. Water, rivers, rain, hurricanes, wind, all kinds of Mother Nature. Says the Chacham Sofer, you know what Mother Nature is? Mother Nature is that the Yidden learn Torah. Why? Because if the Yidden don't learn Torah, as much as the grass grows and the water it, and the book tells you to water it every third Tuesday, that's all nice. But if the Yidden don't learn Torah, the whole world goes back to Toyu V'Vayu, and that's it. So at the end of the day, it's the world's completely tolloy on the world, on the Yidden learning Torah. And therefore, the more the Yidden are learning Torah, if there's certain Yidden that are more better tzaddikim than others, the world, it's incumbent upon the world that person should exist. And the less a person learns Torah, it's not so incumbent on the world that person should exist. To the extent that the Chacham Sofer wants to answer the kasha as follows. The men at that time, as we saw in Tosfos, were not worthy of an ace. They weren't even near worthy of an ace. They were in certain, very low levels in Mitzrayim, and they came out and they're on the rise, but they weren't worthy of an ace, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Tosfos just told us, why were we redeemed? The ladies did deserve an ace. Says the Chacham Sofer, it's not an ace. The water split, it's not an ace. The water needed these ladies to exist because at that time, they were the Kiyum Olam. If these ladies are not going to exist, who's going to accept the Torah? At that time, they were the Kiyum of the world because the world depends on Torah, and these ladies, the Nashim Tzidkaniyos, were holding on that level to hold the whole world. Says the Chacham Sofer, it's not an ace. It's mamish, not an ace. For the biggest ace that we talk about, the yamsuf splitting, the mother, there's no mother. Mother Nature is to keep these ladies alive, and therefore the yamsuf split is not an ace. Says the Malachi Asharis to Miriam, "What are you singing for?" The men sang; they had a tremendous ace, but you don't have an ace. There was no ace. You deserved it, the ladies. Batan lohem Miriam, you're right. We're not singing because of that. Shiru Hashem ki gaga, you know we praise Hashem. Suvus v'roich v'yram v'yam. Why did the Mitzrayim have to drown? We needed to be saved. They didn't need to drown. Midah keneged midah. That's the only nace. We're only singing because the Mitzrayim drowned. But the Malachi Asher is asking, why are you singing? And the Teretz says, you're right. We don't need to sing. We're only singing because the Malachim drowned. Says the Chacham Sofer. With this insight, you can answer up Taisvus. Because sha'af hein hoyu ba'isa ha'nes, the women are the tafel. Avada, we're gonna pinpoint who's gonna be chayiv in Mikra Megillah. So the way the Rashbam looks at it, the people who should be chayiv in Mikra Megillah are the people who are responsible for the nes. But the ladies don't have anything to celebrate. They have a lot less to celebrate than the men. For the men, it's a tremendous nes to celebrate. But since the ladies, Ayadehen, it was because of them that we were saved, so for them it's a very small nes. V'afilu hachi, says Tosfos, and says the Gemara, afhein ha'yibayza nes l'maisa. The way that these nesim happen, even for them, there's a shtickle nes, and that's why there's a tafel. But the ikar nes was for the people who didn't deserve it. But for Esther, for Yehudis, in these mices, for the Noshim Tzivkaniyos, B'yotziyas Mitzrayim, it wasn't even an ace. And that's the Lashon of the Gemara, Afin Hoye Ba'isa an ace. Tremendous Yisoid we see from here. Tremendous perspective, clarity that we can get out of this. We come to learn an hour, 2 hours, 5 hours, whatever it is. But to realize that the entire world, the Yam Suf would be willing to split for a person who's mamash holding up the world. And who's that? A person who's sitting there, a kash in the Rajba, a teretz in the Rajba. We heard it already, we saw it already. But every energy, every you can sit down with Chavrusa, the Marsha says in Makkos, that if someone tells you that they learn with Chavrusas and they didn't accomplish, you don't even believe him. If someone sits down with Chavrusa, says the Marsha, it's Mamish, he says Loi Tivu with an Aleph. He didn't accomplish anything, you don't believe him, it's impossible. Someone who sits with Chavrusa, Shakla Vatarya, and he goes through and he really puts his effort into it, and they ask and he answers, it's Al Karchach, he's going to come out with a certain depth. Every step we take, every effort we put in, it's mamish holding up the world. Maybe no one else is in the base. Maybe it's Thanksgiving and no one's in the base measures. Maybe it's empty. Maybe it's a legal holiday. And this, whatever the story is. But the Maisa, there is someone watching. The Rabbanu Shalom is watching. The entire world is surviving on every extra effort that you put. It's tremendous insight from the Chassam Sefer. There's a brisk rav at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis. Similarly, aside, the Briska Rav brings the following Gemara Plia and Avodah Zarah of Beis Amid Beis. But Asad Lavoi says the Gemara, the Rabbanu Shalom is going to come. And the Rabbanu Shalom is going to say, all right, it's the end of times. He's going to hold the Sefer Torah. Everybody, it's time to collect. Come and get your schar for Liman HaTorah, for Kavod HaTorah. Anyone who thinks that they deserve schar, together for learning Torah, for Kavod HaTorah, come and receive your schar. You're not going to believe who's standing in line. It's the Romans, the Romi and Paras, people from Rome and people from Paras. What in the world are they doing online? So the Rabbanu Shem says, and what do you deserve reward for Torah? Romans, what are you doing online? So the Romans say, you know why we're online? Because look what we did. We built marketplaces. We built streets. We managed infrastructure and communities. Look what we did. Why do you think we did this? We did all this so the Yidden should be able to learn Torah. That's what they tell the Rabbanu Shalom. Wow. Well, unbelievable. Okay, the Rabbanu Shalom says, Shaitim. You did all this so the Yidden should be able to learn Torah? Shaitim. You didn't do this so the Yidden should learn. You did this for yourselves. Next. Paras, what did you do? We built bridges, unbelievable things we built. Why do you think we built it? So the Yidden should learn Torah. Says Rabbanu Shalom, you're also Shaitim. You didn't do this so the Yidden should learn Torah. You did this for yourself. Says the Briska Rav, three kashas. First of all, are they trying to trick the Rabbanu Shalom? They thought they can pull a fast one. The Romans are going to tell the Rabbanu Shalom that they built marketplaces so the Yidden can learn Torah. This is the wrong time to try to... You're not going to fool the Rabbanu Shalom, right? Secondly, this is La'asad Lavoi. Everything's revealed. So what are they even trying to do? What was the Havamim? What are they trying to do? And thirdly, the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't even tell them that they're Shakranim. If you know, the Rabbanu Shalom says Shaitim. He calls them, they're fools, but they're not liars. Seemingly they're complete liars. They build marketplaces and bridges so that the Yidden should learn Torah. We all know that this is a complete lie. What were they thinking? Says the Briska Rav, an unbelievable thing. In truth, they're not lying. In truth, they're not lying because the entire world exists so that the Yidden should learn Torah. Says the Briska Rav, he brings down a Rambam, Perush HaMishnayos. You have a king who builds a tremendous palace and he has all the modern technology, this architect, that architect, with all the electronics and this, with the gate goes up, it goes down, and now these days can go sideways, with the trees, with the water, with the whole thing, mamash, the whole palace. Unbelievable. Why did he do it? Because he's the king. That's what he wants to do. But we don't know what the purpose is. We know that it's not for him. Says the Rambam, you know what the purpose is? The purpose could be that in 30 years, after this guy's long gone, or whatever the story is, an Alta Yid is walking through with his Ktsois HaChoshin under his arm and needed a break, and he had this small guest room in this king's place. He sits down, he takes a drink of water, he washes his face and leaves, and the entire palace and the $17.4 million that it cost to build it was only so that Yid with the Ktsois HaChoshin could take a drink of water. Because that's what the entire world is here for. Says the Briska Rav, They're not lying. The marketplace that they thought they were building for themselves, all this is for the Yidden. Everything in this world is for the Yidden to learn Torah. Every single bridge, every street, everything in this world is just so we can learn Torah. It gives us a tremendous responsibility. Besides a tremendous responsibility that we have, if all the entire world, North Korea, South Korea, China, Japan, every country in the world is existing, only so that the 10, 15, 20,000 Yidden can hover over a Rajba, a Ritva, that gives us a tremendous responsibility. We have to take that and put our energy and focus into it because we're being mekayim the entire world. The Perush Rambam Mishnayos, he also says, he asks the following kasha. If the entire world is only existing, if the entire world is only existing for the few people that are going to be Talmid Chacham, there's only a few people. He says, how many Talmid Chacham? There's only a few Talmid Chacham. What about the millions and millions of people that are not Talmid Chacham? Why is it like that? Why are there so many people in this world if there's only the whole world is created for the few that are learning Torah? I'm going to read you his lashon because you wouldn't believe me if I just said it outside. He says two reasons. We're going to say the first one. Achas li yoysam shamshim le'echad ahu. You know why they're here? So they can serve that one guy who became, his mom is sitting there, focusing on his learning, putting his energy into it. The millions and millions and millions of people throughout generations are only here to run, to work the world. They can plow the fields. They can do all the work. So that one guy can sit and learn. That's what he says. Tremendous responsibility and clarity that we have to have. It gives us a certain purpose when opening up a Gemara. This week's parsha we see by Yaakov Avinu, Mesilas Yesharim brings down when he continues with this theme of having clarity. He says, "Amdam hinei hu oimid b'shikol gadol." The truth is, a person has a tremendous debate that he has to go through with himself. On one hand, a certain measurement that he goes through with himself. On one hand, if he goes ahead and he follows the wrong paths, and he does the wrong things, we see from all the chazal that we see here, he can mamash be makalka the entire world. He's makalka himself, and makalkam kola oilam kulay with him. But he says the other hand is also true, like we're saying now. If a person goes and he's able to overcome all the nisyonis, and he's able to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, not only is he Miz'ala himself, but Miz'ala Kol Olam Kulay also, like we saw in all the Chazal. And it brings in this week's parsha, that's pshat, in Avni HaMokim Shalokach Yaakov, V'Shem Mirash Yosef, we see that in this week's parsha, the Midrashim tell us that all of the rocks were trying to fight against the Yaakov Avinu's head. He said, that's the pshat. The whole world, the Bria, is trying to get, is serving, is meshubit to Liman HaTorah. Yaakov Avinu spent 14 years Shem Ve'Ever. The rocks, the Pasha, the rocks want to be under his head. The entire Bria is completely meshubit to Liman HaTorah. Parshas Chayesara, we see Eliezer is looking for a wife for Rivka. He sent out a very important mission to find a wife for Yitzchak. So he's going to go find Rivka, and Rivka's going to marry Yitzchak. If you look at the pasuk, Eliyahu Levin asked the following kasha. If you look through the pasukim, it's a very good kasha, because I'm a Bakari, you might notice it. Almost 7 or 8 times between Revi and Shishi, or between Shlishi and Chamishi, the Torah says, Vayaratz, Vatarats, Vayimaher, Vatimaher. Everyone's running, hurrying. You can get heartburn just reading the two aliyahs. All of a sudden, Bereishis is nice. Noach, Slo, Lech Lecha. All of a sudden, Chayisara run. He ran. Rivka ran, Eliezer ran, Lovan ran to greet them. He brought him to the house, Vatimaher. Everyone's running. What's the pshat? Everyone's running. What's this? Calm down. Everybody's running. Vatimaher, Vayaratz. He says the pshat is that the entire world right now needs Yitzchak to get married. Yitzchak is going to be Mekayim the Torah. He's going to go to be Mekayim the world. The entire Bria is running to make sure Yitzchak gets married. Even Lavan HaRasha, he was running after the jewels. The Ribbono Shel Olam set it up that everyone's running to make sure that Yitzchak Avinu is going to have a wife. So to be Mekayim the world, so they can have Yaakov, and they can have the Shvatim, and they can end up accepting the Torah. So there's a guy, he has a big factory. I didn't make up a name for this guy. Because the guy has a big factory. So he's running the factory. Not bad, making decent money, but it's a very successful business. He's getting older, and he realizes that he's not hitting the potential. He's too old, he wants to retire, so he has an idea. He goes to his son, and he tells his son, listen, you know the business that I do, you basically have the idea, I come home with it, you've been seeing it, I've been doing it 50 years. I want you to spend the next year, I want you to come with me every single day to work for a year. I think there's a lot more potential in this business, but I want to retire. I'm done. I'm 77 years old. You know, come with me to work every single day. And after a year, the business is yours. I leave. I'm going to Timbuktu. I never want to hear from this again. I'm retiring. The business is yours. Enjoy it. Hopefully you'll be successful. That's the story. So the son goes with him. He's going to try to look and see. First, he wants to learn the business, but he wants to learn the ins and outs. He wants to see if he can make this even a more profitable business. This is Mamash's future. So he goes one day, he sees the workers come in, they're working, he sees this nuance, that nuance, and these workers are like that, these work like this. He looks at the books, the money, the budget, very good. Speaks to the board, speaks to the people there. Then comes 11, 11:30, 12, people are starting to get tired. Lunchtime. Lunchtime. So the people go, they're winding down a little bit now, they go and they have lunch, and he sees they become re-energized, they come back an hour later, ready to go, and they start fresh, 1 o'clock. And as the day dwindles, they finish up. Okay, he has his auras, he's writing them down. Mom is spending a year at the place. He's learning every single person's name, and every single job, and every dollar, and everything. But he starts getting caught up with his lunch. He sees the people came, and he notices that this guy has that lunchbox, and this guy goes to this restaurant. And he starts getting, they become Amish energized. He just, with all the numbers and everything he sees with the business, all the profits, he just starts noticing, he's spending a lot of time with the lunch. He just got carried away with the lunch, right? So finally, after a year, he puts all his notes together. We're going to make this business successful. How are we going to make this business successful? He has a whole notebook. He's going to come in the first day he takes over. He's changing shop. He knows what he's going to do. So the weeks dwindle down. The father packs his bag, shakes his hand, and he leaves. And that's the end of the father. The son comes to the meeting in front of the board and says, "All right, guys, big company here. I've been watching this for a year. I have my ideas." He opens his notebook. "We're going to do the following. There's an 8-hour workday. Here's what we're going to do. 2 hours in the day, in the beginning of the day, we're going to work. But we're cutting down on supplies. It was a few $100,000. We're cutting it down in half. We only have half the supplies now. People are watching. That's what we're doing. This is my idea. Listen to the whole plan," he tells him. "You got to listen to the whole plan." "All right. Whole plan. 2 hours. Okay. The next 4 hours of the day is going to be lunch. Now, not only is it going to be lunch, we're bringing in 7 caterers. You're wondering where all the money for the supplies is going. 7 caterers. We're going to have all different kinds of stuff, different kind of drinks, different kind of tablecloths. It's going to be matching. One day is going to be like this. One day is going to be like that. 4-hour lunch break right in the middle of the day. The last 2 hours, we're going to work. But again, we're cutting down the budget. We're cutting down the employees. We're cutting down the supplies. We're mom is going to be focusing in the middle. 4 hours stark in the middle of the day lunch. That's how the business is going to run. We need energy. What happens? Exactly 3 weeks later, the building is for sale. Business closed, not even close. This guy, they were sitting at lunch, they didn't have enough supplies. They couldn't keep up with the market. The customers were upset. They were eating geschmack, but after 3 weeks, there's no business. So I don't understand, he says. People need to eat. They need to be energized. But that's mamish. It's for us. Sometimes this is our test. We come in. We have certain goals. Avada, you need to make a living. Pasha needs to make a living. How can you live without making a living? Vav, you need to make a living, but you can't live without the entire kiyum of the world. The liman ha-Torah, the entire kiyum of the world, that's the business. The business of the world is liman ha-Torah, that's the business. That's the business that we're in. That's the business that we're all in. We accepted the Torah. The business that we're in is working through ritvas and rajbas and tesvas and rishonim and achrayim. That's the business that we're in. And that's where we have to focus our energy. That's where we have to put every ounce of our energy. That's the business. That's lunch. Everyone, you can't work without eating lunch. You can't work without eating lunch. But lemaisa, you can't put your energy and all your focus into. You can't have a 4-hour lunch break. You have to focus on the ikar job. Maseches Kedushin, towards the end of Maseches Kedushin, there's a fascinating Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us a machlokes between two Tanoim. Between Rav Meir, there's a lot of other Tanoim in the Mishnah, but between Rav Meir and Rav Nohi Roy. Rav Meir says, "La'olam yilmad adam espanoi umanos nekiya v'kala." A person should teach his son a job. What kind of job should he teach his son? He should teach his son a job, nekiya v'kala, clean job, an easy job. Rabbi Nohi Roy Oimer, later on in the Mishnah, skipped a few lines, but Rabbi Nohi Roy Oimer, "Maniach in front of me, I had all the jobs I could have taught my son. However, all I did was teach my son Torah." Ask the Brisker Rav, a Abam Kasha. Just some clarity. What is going on? Reb Meir is saying that he taught his son a job, a clean job. What is Reb Naroi doing here? Is he arguing? He doesn't seem like he's arguing. Just telling him what he did. Does he hold that you're supposed to teach your son only Torah? To say, I hold, no, you teach your son Torah. You don't. Why is he saying all the jobs in front of me and this is what I did? Secondly, Sechas Erevin, I think it's Daf Yud Gimel, seems like Reb Naroi and Reb Meir may be the same person. So it's very hard to say that there's a machlokes between Reb Meir and Reb Nahiroi here. So what's the machlokes? What's going on? What's the shock between Reb Meir and Reb Nahiroi in this Mishnah? Asked the Briska Rav. He brings the following machlokes later on in the Gemara. I'm sorry, this is a Gemara in Brachos, Lamed Ham and Bey, is a famous machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Ton Rabbanon. The Torah says you can't leave the sefer, the Torah from your mouth for 1 second. You can't leave. So, Talmud Leimar, you would think that your mamish can't, the sefer Torah can't leave from your mouth for 1 second. Talmud Leimar, says Rabbi Shmuel, that from here you see you have a heter to make a living. Because it says, the Torah can't leave your mouth. However, the Torah says, we say it every day, two times in Shema, V'yasafta deganecha. You go out and you collect the grain. So it sounds like there's a heter to go out and collect the grain. Says Rabbi Shmuel, this is a heter to go out, minak derech eretz, divi Rabbi Shmuel, you can go and collect, you make a living. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Oimer, efshir odom choyresh b'shas charisha v'zerei b'shas zriya, the koitzer b'shas ksira, could this be that a person is going to go, his mom should become a farmer, at the time of plowing is plowing, at the time of harvesting is harvesting. Torah matahelel. What's going to be with the Torah? Can't be that. This doesn't make sense. It's going to be a p'tur. Says Reb Shimon ben Yochai. Therefore, bizman sheyisrael oisim ritzoni shel makom melach the nasas aydei acherim. V'yasafta deganecha doesn't mean you have a heter to go out and work. Says Reb Shimon ben Yochai. It means bizman that the yidden are learning Torah, are keeping the Torah that they're supposed to. Then the parnas is going to happen aydei acherim. That's what. So you have a machlekes. Partially, if you have a heter to go make a living. Rabbi Shmuel says, "V'yasaf deganecha, go ahead and harvest." And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, "You can't go ahead and harvest. You have to sit and learn." And bizman that the yidden are roy, so the malach the nasas aydeachem. The Gemara says a few lines later, "Amar Abayi harbi also ki Rabbi Shmuel also biyadon. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai v'loy also biyadon." Rabbi Abayi says many people tried like Rabbi Shmuel and it worked, and many people tried like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and it didn't work. Exactly what the Gemara is. But either way, the Briska Rav says that it seems from this Gemara clear that we pass like Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Abaye is saying, that yeah, we have a heter. However, but we have to get up. You have to make a living. Pasha, your family needs to eat. Get up and go. You have to be involved to Torah for that time, and you make a living. And it seems, it says Abaye, that we pass like this. The Rambam in Hilcha Shmita V'yoyvel Perek Yud Gimel Hoch Yud Gimel, famous Rambam. V'loy Shevet Levi Bilvad, says the Rambam. We all know that Shevet Levi is a special zchus, that they spend their time as Oisek B'Tevi Mitzvahs, and how do they get a parnasa? The Torah sets up, the Rebbeinu Shlomo sets up, that they're going to have a parnasa from maestros, from different stuff. Elakol Ish V'Ish, it's not only limited to Shevet Levi, says the Rambam. Tremendous chiddush. Kol ish fi ish mikol baya oylem asher nod v'rucha yoysoi v'avinu midei lahavdol lamoid lifnei Hashem l'shor soy l'avdoi. Does any person who decides he wants to be lamoid lifnei Hashem l'shor soy l'avdoi l'das Hashem, he decides that he wants to be like Levi, like Shevet Levi, his mamash going to dedicate himself to serving the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he's going to have tremendous mitzvah, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he's going to have tremendous chus, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to work it out, Yizak Elei Ba'olam Hazeh, Dovra Maspek Elei, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to work it out, Kemoi Shezocha LaKahanim V'Lalvim, he's going to have mamash the same chus like the Kahanim and the Levim. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to work out his parnasa for him, Ayidei Acherim, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is going to work it out, that this person is going to have the ability to sit and learn, decide to dedicate himself, any person can do this. The Gra says, where did the Rambam get this halacha from? He got it from Abaye. He got it from Shimon ben Yochai, from this Gemara. As the Briska Rav, we just said 2 seconds ago, we don't hold like Shimon ben Yochai. A person shouldn't have a right to sit around and do nothing. Chas v'sham. Shouldn't have a right, as Lagabi doing work, to sit around and do nothing. He doesn't have a right to do that. He can't just learn the entire day and the Gabi work through nothing. He has to go out. Vasafta Ganecha means he himself. We pass him like Rabbi Shmuel. It's Amar Abaye. They did like Rabbi Shmuel, but also Rabbi Adan. We just sounded like we passed him like Rabbi Shmuel. Why did the Rambam say that if a person decides that he wants to become an Oivides Hashem, he wants to dedicate himself 100% to serving Hashem, he has the right to do this and the Rabbanu Shalom is going to support him? We don't pass him like Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Elamai said the Brisker Rav, you see from here, that even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, that a person has the right to make a living. But that doesn't mean that there's no concept in the Welt that a person decides that he wants to, he knows he has a heter, and Chanami has a heter, but he wants to dedicate himself 100%, and he's going to sit and sit in the base medrash and learn. It doesn't mean that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is not true. Avad, it's true. Avad, Rabbanu Shalom is going to help and it'll be supported by the Acherim. It just means that you don't have to do that. If you want, you have a heter like Rabbi Shmuel. But says the Brisker Rav, from here, from this Rambam, you see that even though we don't pass Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but call Ish Ve'ish, who decides that he wants to take this upon himself, Avad, he can do this and he's going to get tremendous chus. Says the Brisker Rav, that's Piyad in the Mishnah. It is the same person. Rav Meir is saying that in Chanam, you can teach, if you're teaching your son a trade, teach him a good trade, teach him an easy trade, a good trade, a clean trade. But says Rabbi Meir, you know what I did? I decided to elevate me and my mishpacha. You know what I taught my children? Of course I could have held like Rabbi Shimon, we could have taught him a trade. But he taught his children that they decided that they're going to elevate themselves. Call Ish V'Ish that decides to be Ovid Hashem, 100%, Rabbanu Shalom gives tremendous sechus. Says Rabbi Meir, that's what we did. That's what I did in my family. My son, you know what I taught him? We elevated ourselves and we decided to become like Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'Chaverev. At the end of this Gemara, there's a Tosefta also very similar. From last week's Parsha, they asked a Kasha. The Tosefta has a Kasha. Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. Hashem gave Avram everything that he wanted. Everything he wanted he had. Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. Says the Tosefta of a kol kach lama. Why did Avram Avinu get some of Beirach as Avram Bakoil, everything? Now, I don't know about you, but if you have 10 people in a room, and Avram Avinu was one of them, and I would go around, you get this, you get that, you get a house, you get a suit, you get food, and Avram Avinu, you get everything. Would anyone stand up? It's not fair. Even my kids would agree that it's fair. Of course it's fair, Avram Avinu. Asorin is Yoinish, Avram Avinu. He threw himself, he got thrown in a fire in front of Nimrod. Akedas Yitzchak. And we have a kasha, kol kach lama. Why did Avram Avinu, why was he zeichet to have kol? Why did he have everything? What's the kasha? Of course Avram Avinu was zeichet to have everything. Of course he was the type of person who deserved it. Says the Brisker Rav, from here you see, that Avad Avram Avinu was a tremendous tzaddik. But without limud ha-Torah, without this maila of being mekayim the world, fulfilling the purpose of creation, without that, it's impossible to have this level of bracha like the Rambam and Shimon ben Yochai are talking about. It's impossible to have this. And therefore says that the Tosefta is asking, Avram Avinu was koydem matan Torah. He didn't have this level of Torah. He didn't have the Rajba, the Ritva, Bayi, he didn't have this. So how is he zoichet to this bracha? The Tosefta holds that it's impossible to have Hashem berach Avram bakoil without limud Torah. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Even with Asarun Sinash Avram Avinu, there's no such thing. Kol kach lama, they ask. And you know what the teretz was? The teretz was that Avram Avinu had the Torah, even koydem matan Torah, with all the tamim, with all the diktakeh. Avram Avinu was zoichet to have the Torah even before matan Torah. But that's the only way, that's the only teretz. Without this, the Tosefta Mamash doesn't understand, even Avram Avinu, how could Avram Avinu be Zoicha? How is Beirach as Avram Bakoil? Only with this Mila, with this Mila, with fulfilling the key of the world, does that make sense in Tosefta satisfied? The end with a mashal. My chavrusa was telling me over this afternoon. He heard it at the asifa that was in Lakewood that they had for the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, the drafting shiva bachram. Tremendous mashal that the Chavetz Chaim said. The Chavetz Chaim, I'm hearing this from him. We heard it from a speech. Hopefully, I get the facts. But either way, it's a tremendous mashal. The Chavetz Chaim got up at an asifa in Europe. Every year they had an asifa, and basically there were tremendous problems in Yiddishkeit at the time. There was Lashon Hara, there was Snias, there was Shabbos, all kind of issues. Chavetz Chaim gave the following mashal. So you have a guy, he gets up, crosses the street, and he gets hit by a car, Rachman al-Tzlan. Every single aver that he has is broken. Every single aver, his leg, his eyes, his liver, his kidneys, everything is broken. They rush to the hospital. They get to the hospital, and there's 17 doctors. There's the eye specialist, the foot specialist, the stomach specialist, the liver specialist. And their mom is working in tools and this and this and tools. And all of a sudden they hear the beep, right? The beep that nobody wants to hear. What is it? The heart went flat. At the exact second, you see 17 people stand back. That's it. Some of them start going around. They leave and that's it. What happened? 17 doctors were mamish involved with different ideas, with different things, tools, bring me this, bring me that. With one beep, boom. What happened? One limb stopped. That's it. What about the, why are you stopping on the eyes? The heart stopped. But the leg, why are you stopping on the legs? You have, the guy thought he had a good mahalik with the feet, Taka. No, that's it. What happened? Says the Chavetz Chaim, there's many different issues. At that time, there were many different issues. Issues of tznias, Shanar, Shabbos. But the heart of the velt is limud haTorah. That's the heart. If the heart stops, if there's no limud haTorah is at risk, the heart stops, there's no limud haTorah, then it doesn't make it, all these other things make a difference. But without a heart, we can't even start working on the other things. There's no working on the eyes, trying to get the eyes, the feet. We need, without a heart, the doctors leave. Because the guy's dead. Without the Torah, that's our only hope. The entire kiyum of the world is limud haTorah. It's a tremendous responsibility, like we said, a tremendous clarity that we have to have when we're learning Torah. The hour that we have, if we can add a little extra depth, if we can add some time, every level that we do, we can't come in and say, basically, I have shot in the Rajba. What's basically? 75%. Imagine if the world was operating at 75% today. That means 25% of the world could be in utter destruction. That could be tsunamis, tornadoes, earthquakes, 25% of the world. The Torah is equal to the world. The world is meshubah to the Torah. The world exists because of the Torah. That means that we have to put 100% effort. We can't have a world existing at 75%. We need a world existing at 100%, a tremendous responsibility. And if we can uplift ourselves and add energy and add depth, then Mirtz Hashem, we can have the Shechina come back to its rightful place in the Binyan Bayis Shlishi b'Meher B'Yameinu.